Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother John. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. And let's go ahead and stand in honor of God's word if you're able to. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We kind of introduced this chapter last week or a couple of weeks ago. I was in a mission conference last week. So we introduced this. And one of the things that we tried to bring out, or one of the primary things I want us to see from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is Paul, let's be reminded this morning, is dealing with a church that's got all kinds of problems. I mean, it seems like everything that this church does, they mess it up or they do it in a wrong way, and Paul has to rebuke them, whether it's personalities in the church, the way that they're dealing with sin in the church, the way that they were dealing with lawsuits in the church, the way that they were dealing with the Lord's Supper, and everything it seemed like they were touching, they were out of bounds on it. And Paul begins to talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 about the idea of gifts or spiritual gifts that are given to God's people to help edify the church, to be a blessing to the church. He's going to talk about a lot of things. He's going to talk about gifts that are still going on today. He'll talk about some sign gifts that are no longer in play because of the Word of God being complete. And one of the things that you would think in the day in which we live, that like sign gifts are still a part of Christianity, and they're not. And the reason that they're not, and it's very easy to point out from Scripture, the reason they're not is because we have the complete Word of God. Most of sign gifts were brought into play so that people could understand that this was from God and this was the Word of God. It's like in Acts chapter, the last book of Acts, when Paul is able to shake off the snake and then everybody was willing to listen to him. He came and he healed people. You know why? Because Paul was an apostle and he had the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of healing because the gift of healing is not in play today. I don't have the gift of tongues because tongues is not in play today. Yeah, there's a lot of people that think it is, but tongues are known languages. I'm having trouble with English. I couldn't speak another language. But if you had the gift of tongues, that means that you would be able to stand up and speak in a language that you never went to school for. And then there would be someone that maybe knew that language that would be able to interpret that. That's tongues in the Bible. That's not tongues like what people are talking about today. I'm just saying to you, we are Baptists. We believe the Bible. The Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of God. I'm not trying to speak it ill against anybody, what they believe, but your truth must be based on the Scripture. Amen. So I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 12 again. And I've got about 300 million things rolling around my head, but I want to make sure I communicate it true. You know, like, I don't want to, we all have certain gifts. I believe that God, when He called me to preach, He gave me the gift of preaching. And I believe I can communicate the Bible, but it doesn't mean that I should not work on it every week, every day, study the Word of God. I don't just go, well, you know, I got the gift of preaching, so I don't study the Bible. That's not true. That's not right. And there may be somebody's got, boy, they just got the gift of giving. Now, when we talk about the gift of giving, that just doesn't mean giving monetarily. That means giving of themselves, giving. They're always giving to people. I mean, this church has the gift of giving. Amen. I mean, we have people that go in the hospital and without even saying it, they got meals for a week. It's amazing. That's happened to me when I've been sick. People just show up out of the kindness and out of the gift of their heart. You know why? Because God has everything that we need in this church to edify this body and give glory to God. Amen. And Paul's going to even say, I told you I got a lot going on, so I apologize. Paul's even going to say in chapter 14, hey, there's all kinds of gifts and the gift of preaching and giving and all these things. But one of the things I want you to grab a hold of is the book of 1 Corinthians was a very early epistle. There's no other epistles that speak about the gifts of healing and tongues and all that. Everybody with me? I'll finish that in just a minute, that thought. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which worketh all in all. So he talks about the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the Son of God, and God the Father. All of those are involved when it comes to the edification of the church. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. Now, there's two types of prophecy. There was the prophecy that we sometimes read about where they said, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem because I prophesy in the future that if you go there, there's going to be a problem. There's the prophecy of the Old Testament talking about something that's going to take a place. It was prophecy that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem, and he was. But there's also prophecy in that is, not only is there the foretelling, but there is the foretelling, and that's the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And my friend, that better be a gift found in the church or we're in trouble. Amen. There better be preaching of the Word of God when you're in church. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. And so some of these that Paul has spoken about, these are things that are going on today. Some of these things are not. And he's going to talk about that later. But we need to understand this, that God is the one that gives us what we need. Amen. God. And then I want us to be reminded that after chapter 12, he's going to talk about love, and he's going to talk about love has to be a part of the church or it doesn't do any good. We can have every gift there is to get, and if we don't love one another, it'd be worthless. And that's why he will say that now abide of faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Chapter 14, verse 1, he will go right into saying, follow after charity. That's just an old English word for the word love. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And then he's going to talk about some things that, remember, they got a little feeling over. Somebody was able to do something, and they looked at one gift greater maybe than the other gift. So I want to just try to preach my heart this morning from the spiritual gift aspect of really kind of where we are today in our society, what people have done historically, where there's an out of bounds today, I believe, when it comes to spiritual gifts and people that say things. You know, I've heard this statement. It was given to me when I first got saved. Right after I got saved, I began to witness and talk to people about the Lord. And this person came up to me and said, have you spoken in tongues? And I said, no, I didn't know you were supposed to do that. And they say, oh yeah, speaking in tongues is an evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I thought that the evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life was love and joy and peace and long-suffering as the Word of God speaks. That's what I knew that the Word of God said. But we find that people want to add. Now, you can say that, but it's not found in the Scripture. Lord, I need your help today. I want to communicate the truth in love. I want us to understand today, Lord, that you are still working among congregations, that you are the great giver of life. You are the giver of salvation. Without repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins. And I want to thank you, Lord, that I pastor a church that have many people we know that have been saved by the grace of God, and that we are a body. We are a body of Christ here in this particular location. I realize there's visitors here today, and I thank you for them. And I thank you, Lord, that we invite any and all people, but really, this is a church family. If you're a member here and that you have certain talents and gifts that have been given by God, some things are just cultivated, but other things just have, you gave it to us. You laid it in our heart. You gave us the gifts that the Spirit of God would give. But at the same time, while Paul speaks about miracles and tongues and healings, in the same aspect as wisdom and knowledge and preaching and prophecy and administration and different things that can be used for the honor and glory of God, Lord, there needs to be a distinction that Paul also said not these things, but he also said that when that which is perfect is come, when the word of God is complete, there will no longer be a need for miracles, sign gifts, if I could say it like that, sign gifts to authenticate the message and the messenger, because now we have the complete word of God. And now the preacher is to expound the word of God. He is to expose the word of God. He is to preach the word of God. And Lord, I want to do that this morning in a way that would be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. Might not be not necessarily be the first thing that someone would begin to study after they were saved. But as I mentioned, there was a group of people that came to me. I was working in a contracting center in San Antonio, Texas. I was in the military. I was in the Air Force. And in this contracting center, there was many people that worked there. And there was a man that witnessed to me about the Lord. And I'll just be honest with you, I didn't really want anything to do with God at that time, even though I had grown up in a liberal Southern Baptist church. Really never heard the gospel, really wasn't concerned. I had my mind on worldly things, getting an education, raising a family, and all of these kind of things. And then some folks began to witness to me, and then I just wasn't interested. But because I made a promise to go to a church maybe 3 or 4 months down the line, eventually, as you know, there was a man named Wally Williams who preached the Word of God, and I got saved that night. I called upon the Lord in salvation. I was a sinner. I was a sinner who needed salvation. I was a sinner who needed his sins forgiven. I was a sinner, and I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that if I didn't get saved, I was on my way to hell. Now, that's the thing that people need to realize, or they're never going to come to Christ in salvation. You first must realize that you are a sinner. You must realize that you're going to pay for your sins one way or the other, but yet Jesus Christ took our place and we can be saved by the grace of God if we'll repent of our sin, ourselves, and we'll trust Him as Savior. And I did that in April of 1984, and my wife got saved the very next day. She called on the Lord. Our life was completely transformed. I mean, everything about our life changed. We evaluated everything. We had the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We had the joy of the Lord. I mean, when God moves in, it's awesome. And I'm telling you, it wasn't that we went through a bunch of feelings, but I did feel like the weight of the world had been removed from me. And right after that, I began to witness the best that I could, because I was kind of like the blind man. I didn't know a whole lot. I just know that yesterday I was blind, and today I see. And I had a lot of zealousness, but I didn't have a lot of knowledge. And so I was an easy target for somebody to come up and tell me something like they did about that I needed to be able to speak in tongues, and there was these gifts of the Spirit, and I needed these sign gifts. And so I did not question what they did, what they said. I desired, if that's what the Bible said. Listen, is everybody hearing what I'm saying? If that's what the Bible said, then I'm okay with it. And so I began to do a study. And I'm telling you, I would come home from work out of the Air Force, and I would study from 5 or 6 o'clock at night till 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And I would look up every verse where the Bible talked about healings and tongues and everything and what God was doing. And I just kept coming back to faith and hope and charity, kept coming back to the God, the peace of God, that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And I'm like, well, where's tongues in there? Where's the gift of healing in there? Where's all this stuff in there? It wasn't in there. And so then I began to study the Bible, and then I began to do a little historical study. And here's some of the things that came to my mind came to light as I was studying. Number one thing that I learned, that from the time when the canonization of the Scripture was closed, I found that the last miracle in the Bible was probably in Acts chapter 28, where Paul had been shipwrecked, and he was on this island, and he's out there, and they're all wet, and they're all discouraged, and they're trying to figure out what to do, and a viper jumps out of the fire. This is an action, and grabs a hold of Paul, and they all looked at him and said, oh, this man is a dead man, and he flung it off. He just flung her down. And they all waited for him to die, and he didn't die. Now, my friend, I hate to tell you this, but if you believe Mark chapter 16, where it talks about tongues and vipers and healings, if you got one, you need to have them all. So if you just want to pick tongues out, you got in trouble. Now, you get a mamba, and you let him bite you, and you done nothing happen, then I'll believe you. And you know what they did? They believed Paul. And so then they brought everybody to Paul because Paul was an apostle. Paul had the sign gifts of healing, and he healed people. And that, you know what that caused them to do? It caused them to do what the meaning of sign gifts is all about, and that is this, to preach the Word of God. Sign gifts are not going to save you. Sign gifts were not going to save them. Sign gifts were not going to make them spiritual. Sign gifts were going to authenticate the man and the message because there was not a complete Word of God. Everybody with me? All right, these are things that are important. That's one thing that I learned. Another thing that I learned is this. There is no such thing as speaking a language that's gibberish and that is not a known language. There's all kinds of known languages in the world. German language, the Spanish-speaking language, Chinese, the Mandarin language, and the Italian, whatever it might be, whatever country it might be. Those are languages, but you know what? You know what German is to me? I went to Germany in 2005 and then went later, and you know what? To me, it's stressful every time I go to Germany. Now, the reason it's stressful, because I don't know what they're saying. And you know what it is to me? It's an unknown language. You know what it is to them? A known language. You know what I need? An interpreter to tell me what they're saying. Everybody with me? All right, so another thing I learned is this. So when Paul did that last healing there in Acts chapter 28, I realized that the book of 1 Corinthians that Paul is dealing with, he's dealing with all kinds of problems. And not so if they're going to have the problems with everything, guess what? They're also going to have problems with spiritual gifts. They're going to have problems with spiritual gifts, whether they're sign gifts or whether they're gifts that are still in. Listen, they had trouble with preaching. They had trouble with the Lord's Supper. They had trouble with everything. They had trouble with sin in the church. Everybody with me? But do you realize that none of the other Pauline epistles that he wrote speak about tongues or healings or any of this? Do you realize that James and John and Peter and all the epistles later, none of them talk about it? Well, if sign gifts are so important today, why wouldn't it be spoken about? All right. Then the other thing here, I learned this. As I studied history, I realized that since the days of the apostles and the closing of the canonization of scriptures that we have today, and then I learned about in the 1200s and the Dark Ages and through the Reformation period and the Anabaptists coming through all of that, that there was not one historical setting, there's not one historical mention, there's not one writing of somebody giving testimony of sign gifts being used for thousands of years. But yet today you would think that it has always been healings and sign gifts. And do you know why? Because there's a lot of charlatans out there who set up their TV stations on CBN and they talk about Jesus, but they're not talking about the same Jesus I'm talking about. And they talk about healing people. Listen, if you had the gift of healing, don't set up a tent, for goodness sakes. Go to the COVID ward, or go to the cancer ward, or go to the regions in India where they still have leprosy and heal those people, because that's what Jesus did. When Jesus used the sign gifts of healing and he healed the leopards and he healed the blind men, he was helping people, and then he was preaching to them the gospel of Jesus Christ so that not only could they physically be healed, but they could spiritually be healed. So then I did a little study, and here's what I found out. And then I'm just going to throw you out some of these snippets because there's so much more to it. And I'm telling you, it reminds me today of the sons of Aaron who put strange fire on the altar and were killed. So listen, don't come to me and tell me that I'm blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I am not blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching the truth in love to get you to understand sign gifts ain't around. Well, I've experienced it. Boy, that I've heard that so many times. Well, I've experienced it. Well, listen, the devil can give you an experience. I've experienced riding roller coasters, but that don't mean I want to ride all of them. If we could go back in history to 1896, everybody, this is 2021. If you go back in history to 1896 and do a little study, you're going to find a man whose name was Richard Sparling. He was a Southern Baptist, and he declared, now listen, thousands of years have gone by since the close of the Bible to 1896, and all of a sudden this man named Richard Sparling decides that he believes that the restoration of the first century sign gifts, and I'm going to show you that there's a difference between a permanent gift and a sign gift. A sign gift, and by the way, tongues is a sign gift, healing is a sign gift, and he claims that in a revival meeting in North Carolina in 1896, that all of a sudden, poof, God restored sign gifts. In 1901, the students of a man named Charles Hamm at the Bethel Bible College in Topeka, Kansas, announced that they had received, quote, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and had spoken in tongues. These are, listen, this is thousands of years after the scriptures closed. And this is the most famous that many people know about. 1907, William Seymour, a Nazarene pastor, founded what was to become known as the world famous Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, and again claiming that the sign gifts that are no longer in play are all of a sudden come out of nowhere, and that was the beginning of Pentecostalism. It was rooted in the holiness movement. It found its way in disunited denominations characterized by Armenian theology. And what do I mean by that? Meaning that they believed you can lose your salvation. And I'm telling you, Pentecostalism and this Pentecostal movement and this idea of speaking in tongues and healings and all that kind of stuff, every person, all the everybody, they also believe you can lose your salvation. Why is that? Because it's fact, it's feelings over faith is what it is. And it's trying to find a euphoric feeling of something, just like the Corinthian believers that Paul is dealing with and telling them they're out of bounds. To which I'll say, people who believe, who are going into sign gifts today, they're out of bounds. You don't need sign gifts. You don't need to authenticate the Word of God. The Word of God's the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. But you know what? When you put all these things together, you have a movement that is started by an emotional uprising. And the way this movement got a stronghold in many denominations was because a bunch of churches are dead. And they're not preaching the Word of God, and there's no life in the church. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, there needs to be life in a church. And when you have deadness in a church and then something sensational comes along that seems to put a motion inside them, people take notice. And I'm not going to get real critical, but I'm just going to say this is the reason why there's a lot of churches that don't sing, that their music is not psalms and hymns and spiritual song making melody in your heart to the Lord. No, they're rock and roll concerts because they're trying to stir up the people's emotions. No, your spirit needs to be stirred up by the Word of God. Churches should not be dead. Churches should be biblical. They should have the fire of the preaching of God's Word. They should use spiritual gifts as spoken that they can use to edify. But I'm telling you, these Pentecostal charismatic movement type things are far removed from the Word of God. And so I get accused of being unloving, unkind. I've been accused of trying to mess somebody's, and I'm not. I'm trying to keep my sheep in the right spot. And I will tell you this. What's an amazing thing, if you study it out, when some of this first started, like tongues started in the early 1900s, you can go and study it for yourself. But you will find out that even in the early movement of tongues, they thought that what they were doing, that they were actually speaking known languages. They believed that. And it was only when they realized that that was false that they went to, well, actually it's a heavenly language. And many of these early Pentecostal uprisings would send people to China expecting them to be able to speak Chinese without having to learn the language, and they found out that what they were saying was not Chinese. I'm very serious. There's books that show, that bring these things out very clearly, but now we're gone way beyond that. We've gone way beyond that. When you go back to, so later on, because of that falseness, there was many of the mainline denominations that did not accept Pentecostalism very much. But I will tell you this, in that Azusa revival there in Los Angeles, it was a time in California that came out of that, the Gospel Businessmen's Association was formed. This association today would be called things like, remember, Promise Keepers? Boy, that came real prominent, prevailed heavily in the 1980s, 90s. But guess what? It fizzled out. And so did the Gospel Businessmen's Association and Promise Keepers. And now we have the seeker-friendly movement. And what that means is people, preachers and churches send out surveys to people and find out what people want. And whatever they want, that's what we're going to give them. It's the same thing comes from it. We're going to give people what they want. What about giving people what they need? Amen. You know what we need? The Word of God. Amen. We need the preaching of God's Word. Today, every major denomination has some form of the charismatic movement inside of it. Everyone. Baptists. Not our kind of Baptists, but I'm just saying, even that Southern Baptist way back in 1896... And I'm just telling you, even Catholics and cults and non-denominational churches are involved in some way with the charismatic movement. And I don't know this, and I can't say it for sure, but I do know this. If you can't see the one world government closing in on us fast, you're not reading the news or listening. And so as the one world government, one world religion makes its way more prevalent. Here, what are you saying? I'm saying you better be saved by the grace of God, because Jesus is coming soon. And we're going to be out of here one way or the other. You need to be saved by God's grace. And I'm just telling you, I don't know this for sure, but I used to think when earlier in my ministry, when I had to study this out and I looked at this, and after I got saved and these people came to me, and I thought, wow, this charismatic speaking in tongues and healing, that's going to hold the one world government, the one world religion somehow together. Whether it does or not, I don't know. But here's what I do know. Because of this, there's this very great focus of the ministry on the Holy Ghost in the area of spiritual gifts. But the problem is they're taken out of context and have nothing to do with what we just read in the scriptures here even today. When you really find in this movement is based on an emotional experience and not based on the Word of God. And I said this in the last message that I preached as I introduced 1 Corinthians 12, that experience is not our final authority and it's not the test of truth. The Word of God is. Because you know what we learned this morning about lying? The devil will lie to you. And if you're not careful, you'll lie to yourself. And you'll read something in the Word of God, and it's there, and it's true, and it says what it says, and you're not lining up with it, then listen, it's not the Bible's fault, it's your fault. Amen. And you need to get right with God and line up with the Bible. So let's be reminded in 1 Corinthians 12 that this book is written to the church at Corinth, a literal, visible, local assembly of baptized believers who had coveted themselves together to carry out the gospel and the commission. But I'm telling you, they were in trouble. They were Corinthicized. They had immorality. They had divisions. They had the Lord's Supper wrong. Now Paul's having to deal with, hey, you're out of bounds on spiritual gifts. Some of you are desiring spiritual gifts of some kind. Some God want this. Somebody want that. You're wanting this rather than wanting what God wants you to do. That's why he would tell them, you need to be more focused on the faith and hope and charity than you are on sister so-and-so having this gift and brother so-and-so having that gift. And I'm just telling you, we need to understand the time of this writing was probably around 55 A.D., which would have been 25 years after the events on the day of Pentecost. And we mention this because much of the movement of the charismatic today talks about everything going on that took on the day of Pentecost is still going on today and back then, yet the Bible says very little of it. So let me do something. Man, I got so much to do and so little time. But anyhow, let me just show you something. Go to Acts chapter number 2. I always tell people when I preach out, when I start doing Bible studies, it don't count against my preaching time. So this don't count. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that Pentecost means 50, about 50 days after the Lord had gone to heaven, Jesus said, I want you to tarry at Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost comes. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as the fire, and it sat on them. And when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with other tongues. Now, it says other tongues. Everybody with me? It means they were known languages. They were not gibberish of some type. They were not, their eyes were not rolled in the back of their head and saying something like, Anda la shandai, untie my bow tie. I'm being honest. I'm not being ugly. I know sarcasm is my spiritual gift, but I'm telling you, they were able to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now look at this. The context of the Bible will teach you what was going on. Verse 5, there were dwelling at Jerusalem. What's the next word? All right, Jews. All right, now, don't go any back. I hope you got your finger back in 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now I'm going to come back there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 22. In 1 Corinthians, and we've already gone through this, but in verse 21, the Bible says, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of what? Preaching to save them that believe. Then it says this, for the Jews require what? A sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Can I tell you this is still true today? Gentiles, Greeks, Romans, first thing we ask somebody is, what's your education? What's your degree in? Where do you work? Something like that. The Jews are a people who require a sign. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 2. So there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. They had come to Jerusalem, and all these Jews were here, and now all of a sudden, people begin to be filled with the Spirit of God and to speak with other tongues. Now when this was noised about abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak what? In his own language. Doesn't sound like gibberish to me. They were amazed that they were in Jerusalem and there were people in the church speaking their language and preaching to them the gospel. Everybody with me so far? And they were all amazed and marveled and saying one to another, aren't these Galileans? How is it that we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we are born? Parthenons, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadonia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in from Egypt, in parts of Libya, around Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. We hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now don't tell me that's an unknown language. That's a known language. And that's the gift of tongues, not what's spoken about today. You know who was present? Jews. You know what the Jews require? A sign. Now you can't make this up. You can't make this up. This morning I'm in my Bible reading, my personal Bible reading, and I'm reading through the book of, I'm reading through 1 Samuel, which I know we're going to preach that tonight, but I'm reading in 1 Samuel, and I come across where Saul and Samuel meet each other, and I want you to just do this real quick. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. This is not a part of my message, but I got to show you this was in my Bible reading this morning, and I jumped up in my living room and ran around the building one time, because I'm like, there it is again. It's amazing how the Bible just kind of keeps coming back around and speaking. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, now, Saul is the first king of who? Israel, Jews. Everybody with me? All right? So in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 6, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. This is Samuel talking to Saul. And he said, now this is going to happen. You're going to be the king of Israel, and thou shalt prophesy with these prophets. There's going to be a company of prophets coming down from a high place with a psaltery, a tabard, a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. That's verse number 5. He said, they're going to bring you some gifts. Take it. And he says, and then he says this in verse number 7. This is what I want you to see. And let it be when these what? Signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion to serve thee, for God is with thee. And every one of those signs that Samuel told Saul that there would, and you can go back and read this, because I don't want to do it for time's sake. Every one of those signs that Samuel said would happen, happened. And why was God showing a sign? Because Saul was a Jewish man who needed a sign, and God gave him a sign to show that what Samuel said was true, meaning what God said was true, and it authenticated the message and the messenger. Now, let me show you something else, because I don't know about you, but I think this is awesome. First Corinthians chapter 13, let's go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 8. Paul said, charity never faileth. Time out right there. Love never fails. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, that's foretelling, they shall fail. Why? Because we don't need anybody to tell us. Well, actually, you want to know the future? Read the Revelation. God should. That's called prophecy. But for a man to be able to tell the future, that's not going to happen. Because the Bible says, be careful. No man knows what a day may bring. Now, whether there be tongues, they shall what? Is that what the Bible says? Whether there shall be knowledge, it'll vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. Listen, they had part of the Bible. They didn't have all the Bible. And when the Word of God complete, all we need to do is preach the Bible. Now, the Jews require a sign. Every time there's sign gifts that show up, every time there's sign gifts that show up, guess what? There's Jews there. I don't see Jewish congregations speaking. I don't see that going on today. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I want you to understand. 1 Corinthians, I thought I had in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 22. There we go. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign. Look at this. Not to them that what? Wow. Amen. Yep. Is that what it said, brother? It's not for believers. So therefore, it can't be an evidence of the Holy Spirit living within you. That's not true. That's a lie of the devil. It just breaks my heart that people grab a hold of this. It's a sign. Who are signs for? Jews. By the way, let me say this. Do you know when the first signs in the Bible were? The very first time a sign appeared. Well, I'm going to tell you when it was. Moses is standing before God at the burning bush. And God said, Moses, I'm going to make you the deliverer of Israel, and I want you to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And remember what Moses said? He started stuttering and he said, I can't do it. And then who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell me I am sent you. And we get the word Jehovah God, Jehovah. Well, how will they know? How will they know I'm sent from God? And he doesn't say this, but I'm going to insert this. I'm going to say it because based on what I just read, God said, well, the Jews require a sign, Moses. So here's what I want you to do. You see that rod in your hand? Throw it down on the ground. And when he did, it became a serpent. And then God said, pick it up. And I was going to say, now look, now we got faith coming into play here. And Moses picked it up. And then he said this. That's a sign. Does everybody understand that? That's a sign. And then he said this. Moses, put your hand in under your jacket there, in your bosom. He said, okay, Lord, I've done it. He said, now pulled it out. It was leprosy. The most deadliest of all diseases during Bible times. And he said, Lord, do something. He didn't say that. He goes, okay, put it back in there. Okay. Pull it out. Healing, that's a sign gift. He healed. Everybody with me? And then I think he did the blood thing where he poured the blood out. Then he goes to Pharaoh. How did God deliver Israel out of Egyptian bondage? Sign gifts. You know why? Because the Jews require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. So I'm telling you that what's going on then and what's going on today is two different things. And you need to understand that you're to use your gift to edify the church. And whether it's talents, abilities, playing the piano, playing the piano can be used for good or bad. Jerry Lee Lewis could play the piano probably as good as anybody, but he used it for bad. Don't use your piano play, your ability, use it for good. We need to use our talents and our natural abilities and God's given gifts for His honor and from His glory. And we need to understand that number one, we need to have a heart for God and we need to love one another. But I'll tell you, everybody has a gift. We don't all have the same gift. All gifts are necessary. Some may appear more noticeable, more desirable, but they're all equal. They're used to edify the church. But sign gifts are not here anymore, folks. Tongues was a sign gift or a miracle gift. Listen, if I got up here and started speaking Spanish and Joe and Sol Pachenko go, hey, the preacher's preaching in Spanish, I'd be going, woo! But it's not going to happen. From AD 58 to 96, no miracles recorded. 96 AD pretty much is when the Bible is closed with a revelation. Miracles like gifts, miracle gifts like tongues and healing are only mentioned in the early epistles. When you get to the later epistles, there's no mention of sign gifts. 1 Corinthians is dealing with tongues, but the other 12 Pauline epistles, nothing. You know why? Problems. They were doing things wrong. Peter, James, John, or Jude never mentioned tongues. And then I want to show you one more thing just because it's awesome. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Does everybody understand this, that 2 Timothy chapter 4 is the last book that Paul ever wrote? Everybody understand that? So we're almost now to the end of Paul's ministry. We're the end of the canonization or the closing of the scriptures. And Paul is writing to Timothy. He told him in chapter 4, preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Verse number 3, I think this is important to understand. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Folks, that's where we're at today. Verse number 7, he said, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, that's not what I wanted to show you, but I wanted you to see that he was telling this. Go to verse number 18. These are the last words of the Apostle Paul. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Priscilla, which is Priscilla. Salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesimus. Never could say his very. Now look at verse number 20. This is important. Esdras abode at Corinth, but Trophimus I have left at Millennium sick. Time out here. Paul, why didn't you heal? Because sign gifts are done. Otherwise, why would he not have healed him? Let me just tell you something. If I had the gift of healing, I would lay my hands on Jerry McIntosh's head. And in 30 minutes, his feeding tube would be gone. He would have 32 teeth inside of his head. And we would go to some steakhouse and have steak. Because I love Brother Jerry. If I had the gift of healing, when my friend Ray Forster was dying of cancer, I wouldn't have put my hands on him. I'd put my arms around him and I would have healed him. But I don't. God healed him.
Yes, sir.
And the word of God is complete. And now we live by faith, we have hope, and we're to love one another.
Amen.
We need to love one another.
Amen.
And my burdens become your burdens. And your burdens become my burdens. My burdens become your burdens. Our burdens become each other's burdens. But don't tell me, listen, in 1 Corinthians, by the way, let me go to Mark chapter 16. None of this is preaching, this is all Bible study. All right? It is good Bible study, though, and it's very important that you know what the Bible says. In Mark chapter 16, there's other places like Matthew 28 where God's given the Great Commission. But he said unto them, verse 15, to these apostles now, and they're the church, because God set first in the church the apostles. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, the Camelites like to use this verse to say you have to be baptized to be saved. But notice the next little thing. But he that believeth not shall not be... But he that believeth not shall be damned. It doesn't say he that believeth not and is not baptized. Because if you got saved, the natural progression is you're supposed to be baptized. And then he says this, and these what? Now remember this. Everyone, the first church was a Jewish church. Until Paul became the apostle to the Gentiles. And man, they were like, can other people be saved? Salvation came first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now everybody likes to talk about laying hands on the sick. And everybody likes to talk about tongues, but nobody likes to talk about drinking deadly poison or the snake. So when somebody tells me they have the gifts of the Spirit of tongues and healing, I go to my cabinet and I get Drano, and I say, "Here, drink this." Because if you have the gifts of tongues and you have the gift of healing, then it won't hurt you to drink that, get that Drano, clean you out really good. Again, I'm not being ugly. I'm really not. Here's what I am telling you. The possession of a spiritual gift does not mean a person is spiritual. The church at Corinth had within its membership every spiritual gift, according to verse number 7. But at the same time, they were carnal, divided, full of serious problems. Here's what I want you to listen to me. If you're not saved today, you better get saved because the time, is growing short. And I know this has not been a gospel message, but I gave you my testimony at the beginning to get you to understand. I've been saved since 1984. Me and my wife had been married 4 years. We were both serving in the Air Force, and we got saved by the grace of God. God called me to preach. He didn't call me to speak in tongues. He didn't call me to heal people. He called me to preach the word because people need to be saved. And Jesus did good and then gave them the gospel. When they spoke in tongues, they were doing good. They were able to hear the gospel in their own language. Don't come to me with some gibberish, rolling your head in the back of your neck and saying things and then saying, that's not that. You say, I've experienced it. Well, the devil can give you an experience. You need to make sure it lines up with the Word of God. And we need to make sure that our heart is in tune with God, exercise the gift that God has given us, controlled by the fruit of the Spirit, the attitude of a servant. And the day we think it's about us or we want something, we want to show off something, we're in trouble. You need to find out what God has given you and use it for His honor and His glory and for the edification of the church. And when you find that through the preaching and the teaching and the searching of God's Word, not through some ecstatic feeling, because that's exactly what the Corinthians wanted. They wanted feelings. That's what people want today. They want to feel good or feel this or feel that. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed. Again, I'm not speaking against anybody's faith. God knows that. I'm just saying make sure your faith lines up with the word of God this morning. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. You need to repent. You need to know that God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, would you speak to the hearts of people who need to be saved today? And would you help us to understand the truth about spiritual gifts and what are sign gifts that have ceased and what is it that I'm supposed to be doing today? In Christ's name we ask. Amen. We're going to sing page 275, Just As I Am. I think most everybody could probably sing that without a hymn book. But if you need it, it's 275. And as Brother Brian, you need somebody to pray with you? We'll be glad to do that. My wife's here. Others are here. We'll be glad to pray with you or for you. You have a need. You want to come do business with God at the altar? That's fine too. But as we sing the invitation, if you need any help whatsoever, this is your opportunity for that today.
Just as I